MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Alex Monk, a global renewables analyst at Schroders. Alex, appreciate the time today. In terms of looking at the decades ahead, new energy infrastructure rollout, of course, this is everything from power generation, transmission, and storage. Have we got a sense of what sort of dollar amount in terms of spend we would expect over the next couple of decades?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I mean, essentially, when you look at the requirements of our energy system over the next 30 years, which include both increasing energy demand as populations grow, we use more AI and data, but also as we think about decarbonizing and making that energy system more sustainable, we estimate around $100 trillion Wow. of new incremental investment spend needs to be made over that 30-year period. Now, maybe that spend doesn't all get reached if we don't sort of Sure. fully meet our sort of net zero goals. But even if you only get halfway there, that's still an awful lot of capital that needs to be deployed and obviously is going to create lots of opportunities for those companies deploying it.
That is an absolutely huge number. And you made a point there. I mean, we talk a lot around the transition to renewable and the switch off coal, but actually a lot of this is around demand and around the fact that we have perhaps neglected our energy infrastructure over the last few decades. It's Sam Altman from OpenAI. He keeps on saying his challenge is not getting hold of NVIDIA chips. His challenge in the future is going to be power.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we think about how our energy system changes over the next 30 years, it is useful to break it down into those two chunks and say what actual overall energy demand and our energy mix looks like, you know, significantly increasing because of population growth, because mm-hmm. of data, you know, your exact points on AI, that's potentially, you know, incremental electricity demand, sort of 2-3% on top of the existing base. It's growing, you know, comfortably double digits. And we're obviously seeing huge amounts of investment being spent there. And what that will do is create tightness in energy markets. And we will need to find a way to solve for that energy demand, whether it be through existing forms of energy generation or increasingly sustainable energy generation too, particularly when you think about the fact that lots of these hyperscalers that are building data centers to power AI models do have very ambitious sustainability goals as well.
You know, the focus when we talk around energy these days is pretty much on renewable. Is coal completely out of the picture, or is there still coal being developed and proposed in the decades ahead?
Yeah, so I think we've certainly seen a growing focus on energy security, particularly over the last couple of years, given the sort of tightness in energy markets that we've seen. And for many parts of the world, you know, energy security is going to be partly reliant on increasing, you know, coal usage. Now, I suspect what we will see is that coal usage will need to be partnered with carbon capture, ultimately mm-hmm. as sort of regulatory environments change and our overall carbon footprint and carbon ambitions evolve. So I think we will see that. But I also think what's important is when you think about incrementally developing and spending on capital as quickly as possible, bring new energy to the grid, renewables is often the better choice than existing coal power as it is.
Yeah.
It's often cheaper. It's often much quicker to deploy. It's often much more flexible in terms of deployment. It can give individuals and regions autonomy because they're not relying on big centralized power stations that often have, you know, blackouts if there are mm-hmm. shortages. So actually, while we do think coal will still be relevant, because again, for certain regions, we understand that that's obviously a big part of the mix, lots of renewable technologies and other technologies that are slightly cleaner in some ways actually make more economic sense now, as well as being, you know, better for the planet as well.
And from an investment perspective, I mean, a lot of times when myself, the media start talking around something, there's a sense of, well, it's too late. But we're talking, you know, 100 trillion, giant number. We're talking decades. This is a investment thesis that's going to run for a very long time. And it's going to be lumpy and have some ups and downs. But we can be talking about this in 5 years and 10 years and frankly, probably still 20.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point when we think about these long-term structural shifts that happen in our society. And you see this whenever you go back in history as well, whether it's the growth of sort of automobiles and oil in the early 1900s or mm-hmm. the growth of technology in sort of the 2000 period. We always have these bumps along the road. And that's because the adoption of all these technologies is driven by both structural forces, but also cyclical forces as well that can sometimes cause an acceleration and sometimes cause a bit of a pullback. But, you know, stepping back to kind of the point you made at the beginning, the fundamental question we need to be asking here is energy demand increasing? And the answer to that is clearly yes, for a variety of factors. And therefore, we are going to need to be spending more. And then we also know that incrementally, a lot of that spend is going to be tilted towards more sustainable forms of energy, because we do need to address our carbon and climate change goals as well. And therefore, you know, even though we're going to have periods where we see maybe a little bit of a slowing down of new spending because of higher cost of capital or whatever it may be, you know, ultimately the long-term direction of travel over the next 20, 30, 40 years is still really, really strong, given the investment that needs to go in. And that's going to create lots of earnings opportunities for companies.
And is it, and focusing on the renewable space, and when we think renewable, we think wind, we think solar, and fair enough. Are there other technologies out there who, in the level of demand, are going to rise up? I'm thinking hydrogen, potentially also hydrogen as a storage source.
Yeah, so I certainly think when you break down, again, what our future energy mix looks like, we can electrify lots of things. But one of the things that electricity isn't fantastic at is creating lots of very energy dense heat. And so we will need, you know, forms of clean fuels in our future, A, as a means of powering industry which you can't electrify. Think about sort of, you know, steel production and heavy industry in that respect, or sustainable aviation, sustainable shipping, but also potentially as a form of storage too. So we do see hydrogen as an interesting market. We also see sort of e-fuels, the sort of hydrogen-derived fuels, whether that be e-ammonia or e-methanol, as being a really interesting part of the mix. Lots of sustainable aviation fuel is going down that route. But this is also a market that's still very, very young. And so again, coming back to your point around sort of bumps along the road, we are going to see bumps and troughs, and, you know, this won't be a straight line, but ultimately going forward, you know, that e-fuel mix is going to need to be there in our energy mix alongside fossil fuels with carbon capture and things like that. And again, that's going to create this overall blend of what our energy mix looks like in the future.
Yeah. And in essence, we live in a fascinating time. You referred to the early 1900s, and we're kind of there again, and we're living in the middle of it. We'll leave it there. It's Alex Monk, Global Renewables Analyst at Schroders. Appreciate the time.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.